What is your position on the future of the Art Exchange?
And that's to me, correct?
Yes.
The Art Exchange is a 12, sometimes 14-year process, a project that's been in process. I was a downtown resident when the group of artists came together through the East Village Neighborhood Association. I was president of the West End Community Association, and I look at Don and Barbie Darnauer in the audience. We all have history with this project. My position is 100% support of it. I have helped breathe life into that project's survival through the redevelopment process, and they are at Acres of Books currently operating arts programs, and I'm hoping to see that that is their future home. So my position is 100% unequivocal. I am in full support of it, as I have been all these years.
Thank you. Sorry, Eric. I'll get back to you. I just want to make a quick announcement. We are asking for 2 minutes on these answers. Thank you.
Ms. Kane.
Same question?
Yes.
I agree. I think the Arts District is a great project, but I would like to see. I do want to make sure that that is privately funded. We can offer some tax cuts, but I don't think that that's where public money belongs. Now, having said that, I'm absolutely a proponent of the arts. I consider myself an artist, if not a good one, but I try. And I love art, and I love public art, and I love it's having a presence in our community. But, you know, we're not Lyon. We don't have money to pay artists to live at home. And I think that there's other ways we can engage the artistic community. I've suggested letting us have public artwork out on the Acres of Books building while we wait for another project to happen. And, you know, it's free, it's cheap, and it's a great way to beautify the neighborhood and at the same time engage the community. So I don't think we need to go broke to be creative with our solutions. And our involvement with the artistic community. So again, I am for the Arts Exchange. I'm just not for putting public funding there, especially when I think and believe that we can find private funding to do to pay for the project in its entirety.
The Art Exchange, I think, is an important project, although I do somewhat feel that the future of that might be in jeopardy now due to the loss of the RDA. I think a quick win on the arts, and we did discuss this previously, would really be to raise up our art walk, to involve all the local artists that we have in our city, and there's so many artists that we have that none of us have ever seen their work. So I would really like to focus on the art walk and really develop that, because it can be so much more than what it is. Neighboring cities do a great job. San Diego, we've talked about, is just a wonderful model of what our art walk could be. And neighboring cities too, I can't remember, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Ventura, I can't think now, but there's so many other models that really do a wonderful job, and we can aspire to be better than them if we really put our minds to it. So I'd say let's really focus on the art walk and really back our artists, give them the support that they need, and I really think we need to help them get their things sold. And that's what the art walk's all about, and we don't nearly take advantage of that today. It's really quite sad that it's as small as it is, and people are trying. But I've talked to all the artists at the art walk, and they really feel that they don't get the foot traffic that they need, and they're not making a lot of money, and it's not really publicized or marketed. So we need to put more effort into that and raise up our artists and not expect that we're going to always have them donate their materials and make donations for our specific needs. We really need to pay them for their time and their materials.
Thank you very much. Now, second audience question.
Yes, we'll start with Mr. Kane on this one. Participation in voting citywide is shamefully low. Turnout for state and federal elections average 20% and it goes as low as 11% for municipal elections. How would you increase participation in voter turnout for second district and citywide?
Again, I cited Sanders' article from this morning, and I suggest you all go read it. He's got several community groups that are out trying to engage the community. I think that's one route, and I think it's a fantastic route. But there is the disenfranchisement that we've experienced when our elected officials choose a parental route of representing us, where they're going to make decisions for us, rather than making the decisions that we've asked them to by electing them into office. Again, some people call that direct democracy, or some people call that a social experiment. I call it city government at work. My project of bringing this voting system in where you can vote from home, not in a binding vote, but in a way where you can see what the residents are saying they want, and then see how the district representative, your district representative votes, that's going to excite people. That's going to destroy that sense of loss, that sense that my vote doesn't matter. And I believe that's going to bring people back to the polls. So it's not going to cost the city anything if we go my route. Again, I talked about technology grants, and there's money out there to open up the government and its transparency while at the same time engaging the community. So it's my top priority, and it's a softball question, so thank you.
Eric, can you read the question one more time, please?
Participation voting citywide is shamefully low. Turnout for state and federal elections averaged 3% and go as low as 11% in municipal elections. How would you increase participation and voter turnout in second district and citywide?
Thank you. Yes, during my campaign, as I talked to every single constituent that I've been able to meet, I've been reinforcing the idea of how important it is for everyone to vote. It's really raising awareness that this is their right to vote as a citizen of the United States. It's a birthright. It's an education process that, yes, their choices do matter. And I think we need to encourage everyone we meet to get involved. And if they don't feel connected, they're not going to vote. But we need to talk to them and educate them that it's critically important that they vote, that yes, their voice does matter, and it's an education process that we should ask them to actually pass on to their friends and family. This is something everybody should be talking about. This is one of the greatest opportunities in our country to vote, and all of us should be taking advantage of the privilege. So I think it's a state, a district-wide education, and I really think we take it so seriously, and we should encourage especially all our young people and really all walks of life to get out there and vote and really show their support for what they believe in, and that's the only way we're going to make changes.
Thank you. Voting in this country really is the number one franchise that we have. We don't exercise it enough. It is pretty dismal that only 10 to 20% come out, depending on what the election is, and we might even get 25 if it's a presidential race. But when it's just a council race at an off time and an off year, it's very difficult. One of the things that I introduced through the Elections Oversight Committee is for our city to consider instant runoff voting. We are a representative democracy, not a direct democracy. I don't believe that crowdsourcing is really the way our government is set up today. It may be different tomorrow and another day, but today we are not that type of government where crowdsourcing is the way your elected officials make decisions. For individuals to become more interested in voting, if it's a convenience issue, there's no need why we have to have voting on a Tuesday. That was established centuries ago, because it took a full day. We couldn't travel on Sunday. It took a full day to travel from wherever you were to go and actually cast your vote by horse and buggy. And therefore, elections we have on Tuesdays today. We don't live in that kind of a world anymore, and that's not necessary. We need to make voting by mail much more convenient. We need to open it up on Saturdays. Perhaps we don't all have employers that allow us to take time off during the day, even though it is the law, it is your fundamental right. We all know how difficult it is, especially in this economy, to keep our jobs. And so to risk that, to take an hour out of our day to do that, is a difficult ask. So we need to make it available on Saturdays. Be sure that more people vote by mail. Encourage people to vote by absentee votes. During our art walk, which was mentioned earlier, we have 17 galleries that participate. Certainly, We can encourage people to pick up a voter registration document right there. Every opportunity possible should be a place where people can register to vote. But really making it much more convenient, perhaps introducing instant runoff voting so we don't have a primary and a general, it's exhausting. We don't want to continue to fatigue our voters more and more.
Thank you very much. And that puts us right on schedule and moving into our closing comments. So I just want to make sure I get this right. I believe we're beginning with Ms. Valentine. I'm sorry, 2 minutes.
Closing comments. This has been great. I do want to say that we have elections for a reason. It gives us an opportunity to think about where it is we want to go as a community and what it is we want for ourselves and our families. It gives us an opportunity to align ourselves with a candidate who we feel actually does represent us best and has our best interest in mind. So with that, I just want to say I am fully committed to the council member position, and I don't know if many of you saw the Business Journal this morning. It just came out. And it said that the vice mayor is going to make a run for the mayoral race. I really think that's sad if that's true, because we really need someone in this position who's fully committed to the position. And it would be sad to waste all this time and energy for someone who's just going to abandon it actually in the next 12 months, because it would take approximately that to get ready for the next race. And I just wanted to reassure you that I'm here for the long run. I feel I do have the experience and the savvy to get us where we want to go and where we need to go based on your priorities. And I would welcome the opportunity to do so that for you, to do that for you. So thank you very much for tonight. It's been wonderful.
Thank you very much. Vice Mayor Lova.
I want to thank everyone for being here today. I know it's difficult to come out on a weekday evening, especially given work and family schedule. So my sincere gratitude for you to be here. And there's my son calling. How interesting. I have been in office for 6 years. And what I've learned first and foremost is Long Beach is no small town. This is a big city. It is a big grown-up city. It is not time to turn it over to amateurs. It is not time to turn it over to individuals who have not put in the work. I look at each of you in the audience. Many of you participate in your neighborhood association. You participate in your homeowners association. And you come out into the street and you work with other organizations. When I came to Long Beach, I did that. I saw the hard work that had to go in order to fix our neighborhoods and then fix our communities and work with other neighborhoods to do so. This is not a time for us to really figure out exactly what we want to do in the next few years. This council has struggled to balance a very, very difficult budget and preserve core services in doing so. And certainly, in order to ensure residents as well as businesses thrive here, we need individuals who can not only show their record of work, but certainly individuals that have the ability to continue to work with you in the community, with the businesses that are in the community, and ensure that we move forward together. And certainly that's something that I feel that I can do. I have done that in the last 6 years, and I think this city, given how much we've had to cut, we have managed to do not as well as we'd like to do, but certainly we've been able to preserve our quality of life that we hope we'd like to see in our city. The fact that our parks are not shut down, the fact that our libraries are not shut down, is a testament to how well this council has balanced this budget in order to preserve core services. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Kamer, last word to you.
Again with the amateur hour here. If you pick up the Grunion or Gazette this week, at least the Grunion, I believe the Gazette, there's a great article on their endorsement policy explaining basically that they don't do that unless they see a candidate who poses a serious threat to the city. They haven't gone after me, so I'm happy that, at least according to the editors over there, that I'm no catastrophic threat to Long Beach, and neither is Suja or Janet. So, still, just because there's no irreparable damage being faced by the city, that doesn't mean we as Second District residents are free from facing an unjust failure of representation if the wrong candidate for public office is elected. As many of you have noticed, I'm not a typical candidate reading straight from the cards, and I hope that doesn't mean you see me as a dark horse either. I'm here, I'm running, and I intend to be the voice that this district has not had for far too long. And look, just like the Press Telegram wrote when they were endorsing Watkins for the 4th District, it's time to pass the torch to a new candidate with refreshing ideas for the Long Beach City Council. If you feel that's not me for the 2nd District, then I can only implore you to vote for Janet. Like I said, I'm not running because I care for a political career. I want what's best for the city, and more than anything, I see that Sujal Lowenthal is not it. So, as someone who'd become a significant voice for the residents being affected by the PBID and the downtown plan, Janet's experienced the frustration many residents have had with Suja in office as well, so she's at least more likely than Suja to accurately represent the voice of District 2. Still, I believe I'm the best candidate up here, though my youth, grad student work, and unwillingness to accept campaign contributions have definitely worked against me in the traditional political atmosphere. At best, I've won votes this evening, and at worst, I've at least got you all questioning just what you received under the Lowenthal administration. So this hasn't been easy for me, and it's been a long evening for you all, so thank you for your time, and have a good evening.